Elegies by Michael Simmons Roberts.
Bring the wrath primrose that forsaken dies, the tufted croto and pale jessamine, the white pink and the pansy freaked with jet, the glowing violet, the muskrose and the well-attired woodbine, with cowslips wan that hang the pensive head, and every flower that sad embroidery wears, bid amaranthus all his beauty shed, and daffodillies fill their cups with tears, to strew the laureate hearse where Lycid lies. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Alfred.
Sorry?
Lycidas. Milton was the master. It's so beautiful.
Yes, it's beautiful.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong, Emily. You're always trying to read me.
You barely looked up.
I was studying the newspaper.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to distract you.
It's beautiful. Milton was a master. It's the most famous elegy in the English language. Is that all right?
No, it's not all right. You still sound like you're grudging me my love of it. What's wrong?
Fine. So, there's nothing wrong with Lycidas as a poem. It's a work of genius, yes, but...
But what?
But he doesn't mean it.
How can you say that?
I'm not the first. Dr. Johnson, no less, said it. Passion plucks no berries from the myrtle and ivy. That's a line I always remember. Puts my bad reviews in the shade.
So Milton is passionless?
Dr. Johnson makes the point that real passion, real grief, doesn't run after satyrs and fauns and amaranthus.
Sometimes you are so pompous, Alfred.
I held it truth with him who sings to one clear harp in diverse tones, that men may rise on stepping stones of their dead selves to higher things. But who shall so forecast the years and find in loss a gain to match, or reach a hand through time to catch the far-off interest of tears? Let love clasp grief, lest both be drowned. Let darkness keep her raven gloss. Ah, sweeter to be drunk with loss, to dance with death, to beat the ground, than that the victor hours should scorn the long result of love and boast. Behold the man that loved and lost, but all he was is overworn.
Has mother come down yet?
You know she won't come down, Emily. Yet you ask me every morning.
She cannot grieve alone forever. It will destroy her. A family should grieve together.
We all address it in our different ways.
Which for you seems to mean saying nothing.
The death of a father is not simple.
A father? When is Arthur back? Things are better when he's here.
Hallam will be overseas for weeks.
I miss him.
You don't know what missing him means.
Oh, yes, of course. My emotions are shallower than yours. I am merely his fiancé, whereas you...
Whereas I am what? Merely his friend. Without him, I would not be here.
Everything has to be high drama with you. Father was right.
Your father was drunk.
He is barely cold in the ground. Don't blame the family for your failings. You are jealous because Arthur is in love with me, and you wanted to keep him for yourself.
Don't be absurd. I must take breakfast up to Mother. She will not come down, and she mustn't waste away. I sometimes hold it half a sin to put in words the grief I feel. For words, like nature, half reveal and half conceal the soul within. But for the unquiet heart and brain, a use in measured language lies, the sad mechanic exercise, like dull narcotics numbing pain. In words like weeds I'll wrap me o'er, like coarsest clothes against the cold. But that large grief which these enfold is given in outline and no more. Fascinating, dear Daddy. Thank you for recommending it.
Thought you might be starved of new ideas up there in the country.
I must get hold of a copy of that paper. Makes me doubt what I knew about, well, everything, really. If he's right, then our ideas of species, of time, will all need to be rewritten.
I'm not sure, Alfred. Can he get all that from looking at rocks?
I found him persuasive.
It might start you writing again.
I'm not sure that will ever happen.
Sounds like I should buy you a drink, Alfred.
For now her father's chimney glows in expectation of a guest, and thinking this will please him best, she takes a riband or a rose. For he will see them on tonight, and with the thought her colour burns. And having left the glass, she turns once more to set a ringlet right. And even when she turned, the curse had fallen, and her future lord was drowned in passing through the ford, or killed in falling from his horse. Oh, what to her shall be the end, and what to me remains of good? To her, perpetual maidenhood, and unto me, no second friend.
It's understandable. Your father was a complicated man.
That is not how my mother and sister see it. They think all his rages were due to his sickness, his episodes. They are grieving for the loss of him in a way that I simply cannot.
Perhaps you should.
Should what, dear Daddy? Should fake grief for a man who brought misery on the family?
He had demons. We all do.
He had choices, too. I have inherited his blood. I have his episodes. There is not a day of my life when I don't fight it. I do grieve for him. But it's tainted by relief. And the relief by guilt.
You don't need me to tell you that you should take this to the page.
You may have forgotten those reviews, but I have not.
Ignore them.
Tennyson's muse will be wasted in affectation. A eunuch strain.
Oh, forget those fools. You're writing a book with Hallam, aren't you?
As ever, Arthur has stepped in to save me, yes. I count the hours until he's back.
Is Vienna their last stop?
You never know with his father's odysseys. I don't know their itinerary. I try not to ask in my letters. It's easier to hope to see him soon than to know that I must wait for months.
You should use this time at Somersby to write some lines for your book together before he returns.
You understand me, don't you, dear Daddy? When I speak of Hallam at home, I don't think they do.
May I ask you a direct question?
Of course.
Do you resent your sister's engagement to him?
Of course not. Not at all. Nothing can touch my friendship with him, nothing.
And their engagement means he can visit Somersby as often as you wish.
Indeed. I must go to my hotel, dear Daddy. It's been a long day.
Oh, I can walk with you.
No, thank you. I'll make a detour via Wimpole Street.
What's the point? He's in Vienna, as you said.
I just want to see the house again. To feel close to him. Dark house by which once more I stand, here in the long, unlovely street. The doors where my heart was used to beat, so quickly waiting for a hand that can be clasped no more. Behold me, for I cannot sleep, and like a guilty thing I creep at earliest morning to the door. He is not here, but far away, the noise of life begins again, and ghastly through the drizzling rain on the bald street breaks the blank day.
Alfred?
Alfred, we're waiting to start dinner. Mother's asking where you are. Alfred? What is it?
It's a letter from Henry Elton.
Who?
Hallam's uncle.
What does it say? Alfred, what does it say?
During the evening at his hotel in Vienna, Arthur had a slight fever, as he often did, but was talking with much cheerfulness as usual, and asked for his fire to be lighted.
Oh no. Poor Arthur. Is he better now?
Shortly after, he suddenly became insensible, and his spirit departed without pain.
What?
The family are in too great distress to enter into details, but I believe his remains come by sea from Trieste.
No. No! I can't.
Mother! Mother! I need your help! Fair ship that from the Italian shore sailest the placid ocean plains, with my lost Arthur's loved remains, spread thy full wings and waft him o'er. So draw him home to those that mourn. In vain a favourable speed ruffle thy mirrored mast and lead through prosperous floods his holy urn. All night no ruder air perplex thy sliding keel, till phosphor bright as our pure love through early light shall glimmer on the dewy decks. Sphere all your lights around, above. Sleep, gentle heavens, before the prow. Sleep, gentle winds, as he sleeps now. My friend, the brother of my love. My Arthur, whom I shall not see, till all my widowed race be run. Dear as the mother to the son, more than my brothers are to me.
Calm is the morn without a sound, calm as to suit a calmer grief, and only through the faded leaf, the chestnut pattering to the ground. Calm and deep peace on this high wold, and on those dews that drench the furs, and all the silvery gossamers that twinkle into green and gold. Calm and still light on yon great plain that sweeps with all its autumn bowers, and crowded farms and lessening towers to mingle with the bounding main. Calm and deep peace in this wide air, these leaves that redden to the fall. And in my heart, if calm at all, if any calm, a calm despair. Calm on the seas and silver sleep, and waves that sway themselves in rest, and dead calm in that noble breast, which heaves but with the heaving deep.
You'll catch your death out here, Emily.
Tell me what happened.
I told you.
The letter was longer. Tell me more.
There wasn't much more. It was a Sunday evening. He and his father had been for a walk. Arthur felt a little tired and flushed, so he took some quinine and lay in front of the hotel fire.
Yes?
You know the rest.
Tell me.
His father went out for another walk later. He came back to find Arthur sleeping. But...
When was this?
2 weeks ago.
I saw him.
What?
The week before last, I was walking out there, towards the woods, when I saw a tall figure in front of me, dressed in white, walking in silence.
Emily.
Don't say anything. I saw him in front of me on the path, and I followed him into the woods. And he vanished in front of me, like a twist of smoke in a breeze.
Tears of the widower, when he sees a late lost form that sleep reveals, and moves his doubtful arms and feels her place is empty, fall like these, which weep a loss forever new, a void where heart on heart reposed, and where warm hands have pressed and closed. Silence, till I be silent too. Which weep the comrade of my choice, an awful thought, a life removed, the human-hearted man I loved, a spirit, not a breathing voice. Come time and teach me many years, I do not suffer in a dream, for now so strange do these things seem. Mine eyes have leisure for their tears, my fancy's time to rise on wing and glance about the approaching sails, as though they brought but merchants' bales and not the burthen that they bring.
I'm worried about you, Alfred.
Don't be. You should worry about my sister instead. She's gone to pieces. My mother has withdrawn into her own grief for my father, so I have to hold the house together.
Are you able to write?
I have to write now. These shapes on the page are the only order I can bring to bear.
Are you sleeping at all? You look shattered, Alfred.
I'm fine.
Do you want to cancel dinner later?
No, no. Give me an hour and I'll meet you in the hotel. There's something I need to do.
Are you going to Wimpole Street again?
"'Tis well, 'tis something we may stand "'where he in English earth is laid, "'and from his ashes may be made "'the violet of his native land. "'Tis little, but it looks in truth "'as if the quiet bones were blessed "'among familiar names to rest "'and in the places of his youth.' Come then, pure hands, and bear the head that sleeps or wears the mask of sleep. And come, whatever loves to weep, and hear the ritual of the dead. And yet, even yet, if this might be, I, falling on his faithful heart, would breathing through his lips impart the life that almost dies in me. That dies not, but endures with pain, and slowly forms the firmer mind, treasuring the look it cannot find, the words that are not heard again. I sing to him that rests below, and since the grasses round me wave, I take the grasses of the grave and make them pipes whereon to blow.
Would you like me to pour the wine, sir?
No, no, thank you. Leave it with us.
What do you think, dear daddy? Does it reek of Lycidas with the pipe and song? After what they did to my last book, I recoil at the idea of letting poems out into the world again. Especially these poems for Arthur.
This is your Lycidas. The world must see it. It doesn't matter what those idiots say or think.
The traveller hears me now and then, and sometimes harshly will he speak.
This fellow would make weakness weak, and melt the waxen hearts of men.
Another answers,
let him be. He loves to make parade of pain, that with his piping he may gain the praise that comes to constancy.
A third is wrath.
Is this the hour for private sorrow's barren song? When more and more the people throng the chairs and thrones of civil power? A time to sicken and to swoon, when science reaches forth her arms to feel from world to world and charms her secret from the latest moon.
Forget them. You mustn't let those voices silence you. This beef's like an old shoe.
What if they're right, those voices? I'm full of doubts. I worry that In Memoriam will fail because I feel too much. My grief is so great that it may overwhelm whatever gifts I might have to write it. Do you think Dr. Johnson was right, that Lycidas is passionless? Maybe that's its genius. Maybe Milton was able to write the greatest elegy because he was not overwhelmed by grief.
It's not passionless. But Milton wrestled with guilt about Edward King, that he was making glorious verses from a young man's drowning.
You think that guilt is in the poem?
No. He told me.
Ah, dear Daddy, your devotion to dead poets is infectious.
And living ones. It's my vocation.
I must go to bed. Tomorrow I head back to Somersby.
I envy not in any moods the captive void of noble rage, the linnet born within the cage that never knew the summer woods. I envy not the beast that takes his license in the field of time, unfettered by the sense of crime, to whom a conscience never wakes. Nor what may count itself as blessed, the heart that never plighted troth, but stagnates in the weeds of sloth, nor any want begotten rest.
I hold it true, whate'er befall, I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
The time draws near the birth of Christ. The moon is hid, the night is still. The Christmas bells from hill to hill answer each other in the mist. Four voices of four hamlets round, from far and near, on mead and moor, swell out and fail as if a door were shut between me and the sound. Each voice forechanges on the wind, that now dilate and now decrease. Peace and goodwill, goodwill and peace. Peace and goodwill to all mankind.
This year I slept and woke with pain. I almost wished no more to wake, and that my hold on life would break before I heard those bells again. But they my troubled spirit rule, for they controlled me when a boy. They bring me sorrow touched with joy, the merry, merry bells of Yule. Go on.
It feels wrong. They're your notebook.
I've asked you to. Please.
How fares it with the happy dead? For here the man is more and more, but he forgets the days before God shut the doorways of his head. The days have vanished, tone and tint, and yet perhaps the hoarding sense gives out at times, he knows not whence, a little flash, a mystic hint.
Keep going. It's useful to me.
And in the long, harmonious years, if death so taste Lethean springs, may some dim touch of earthly things surprise thee ranging with thy peers. If such a dreamy touch should fall, O turn thee round, resolve the doubt. My guardian angel will speak out in that high place and tell thee all.
Thank you.
Did I read it as you wrote it?
You did, but I'm not sure about it. The happy dead. Will you read more for me?
I'm exhausted, Alfred. Are you retiring too?
Soon. I may stay up a little longer with the notebooks. Be near me when my light is low, when the blood creeps and the nerves prick and tingle and the heart is sick and all the wheels of being slow. Be near me when the sensuous frame is racked with pangs that conquer trust, and time a maniac scattering dust and life a fury slinging flame. Be near me when my faith is dry, and men the flies of latter spring that lay their eggs and sting and sing and weave their petty cells and die. Be near me when I fade away, to point the term of human strife, and on the low dark verge of life, the twilight of eternal day. Do we indeed desire the dead should still be near us at our side? Is there no baseness we would hide, no inner vileness that we dread? Shall he for whose applause I strove, I had such reverence for his blame, see with clear eye some hidden shame, and I be lessened in his love? I wrong the grave with fears untrue. Shall love be blamed for want of faith? There must be wisdom with great death. The dead shall look me through and through. Be near us when we climb or fall. Ye watch, like God, the rolling hours with larger other eyes than ours, to make allowance for us all.
The mist is coming down. Should we head back?
There's no need. I've lived here all my life. I know all the roads.
I know you wanted to show me its beauty, but there's nothing to see in this weather.
Please, dear Daddy, keep walking with me. I need your company.
How is Emily?
We'll see her later. She's getting stronger. She finds consolation and meaning in this loss. Her faith sustains her.
And you?
I'm getting weaker.
Alfred? Are you all right?
Hello, you beautiful boy.
Didn't know you had a dog.
He's not mine. Not officially. Must be from one of the farms. He's been following me around for weeks.
Shoo!
Don't. He's kind. He looks after me. Look at his coat.
I can barely see it in this fog.
Colour of flame.
Alfred!
Come on. I want to show you where Emily saw a ghost. Oh, yet we trust that somehow good will be the final goal of ill. To pangs of nature, sins of will, defects of doubt, and taints of blood. That nothing walks with aimless feet. That not one life shall be destroyed or cast as rubbish to the void when God hath made the pile complete. That not a worm is cloven in vain, that not a moth with vain desire is shriveled in a fruitless fire, or but subserves another's gain. Behold, we know not anything. I can but trust that good shall fall, at last, far off at last, to all, and every winter change to spring. So runs my dream. But what am I? an infant crying in the night, an infant crying for the light, and with no language but a cry.
Why are you taking me on this wild ghost chase?
There!
I can't see anything!
There, she saw him walking into vapor between those trees.
It's all vapor. I can't even see the trees.
She saw Hallam's ghost.
The wish that of the living whole no life may fail beyond the grave, derives it not from what we have the likest God within the soul? Are God and nature then at strife, that nature lends such evil dreams? So careful of the type she seems, so careless of the single life, that I, considering everywhere her secret meaning in her deeds, and finding that of 50 seeds she often brings but one to bear, I falter where I firmly trod, and falling with my weight of cares upon the great world's altar stairs that slope through darkness up to God, I stretch lame hands of faith and grope and gather dust and chaff and call to what I feel is Lord of all and faintly trust the larger hope. So careful of the type, but no. From scarped cliff and quarried stone, she cries, a thousand types are gone. I care for nothing, all shall go. Thou makest thine appeal to me. I bring to life, I bring to death. The spirit does but mean the breath. I know no more. And he, shall he? Man, her last work, who seemed so fair, such splendid purpose in his eyes, who rolled the psalm to wintry skies, who built him fanes of fruitless prayer, who trusted God was love indeed, and love creation's final law, though nature, red in tooth and claw, with ravine shrieked against his creed. Who loved, who suffered countless ills, who battled for the true, the just, be blown about the desert dust, or sealed within the iron hills. No more. A monster then, a dream, a discord, dragons of the prime that tear each other in their slime, were mellow music matched with him. Our life as futile, then as frail. Oh, for thy voice to soothe and bless. What hope of answer or redress? Behind the veil. Behind the veil.
I'm very pleased you're here, Mr. Diodati.
Please, call me Charles.
My brother took you out in the fog, I gather.
Yes, he wanted to show me the local sights.
He saves up all his conversation for you in London. I hope he didn't wear you out.
Emily.
Not at all. We discussed faith and doubt and radical ideas of a new geology.
And what are they?
That the natural world is random and brutal, governed by slow, huge forces over vast expanses of time.
I am sorry, Mr. Diodati. My brother doesn't know how to make a guest feel welcome.
On the contrary. He showed me where you saw your ghost.
It was a strange time. I think now it was conjured by my distance from Arthur, my worries about his health, and the mist itself.
Well, I don't doubt it was him.
You didn't see it.
The mist is clear now. If I can't sleep tonight, I will go back and look for him.
A good night's sleep might be a better plan.
When on my bed the moonlight falls, I know that in thy place of rest, by that broad water of the west, there comes a glory on the walls. thy marble bright in dark appears, as slowly steals a silver flame along the letters of thy name and o'er the number of thy years. The mystic glory swims away. From off my bed the moonlight dies, and closing eaves of wearied eyes, I sleep till dusk is dipped in grey. And then I know the mist is drawn, a lucid veil from coast to coast, and in the dark church, like a ghost, thy tablet glimmers to the dawn. I dreamed there would be spring no more, that nature's ancient power was lost. The streets were black with smoke and frost, they chattered trifles at the door. I wandered from the noisy town, I found a wood with thorny boughs. I took the thorns to bind my brows, I wore them like a civic crown. I met with scoffs, I met with scorns, from youth and babe and hoary hairs. They called me in the public squares, the fool that wears a crown of thorns. They called me fool, they called me child. I found an angel of the night. The voice was low, the look was bright. He looked upon my crown and smiled. He reached the glory of a hand that seemed to touch it into leaf. The voice was not the voice of grief. The words were hard to understand.
My dear Alfred, I must apologise for your unanswered letters. I have been caught for months between my medical studies in London and supporting a friend in Horton, doubly grieving for his mother and for a fellow scholar lost in a storm at sea. But I knew you had work to do, so I hoped that my silence might serve you. Are you growing any stronger? And how is In Memoriam? I am more than eager to hear it. I am now apprenticed to a doctor in Cambridge, where I have taken rooms for the year. Needless to say, I would be delighted if I could tempt you back to your alma mater for a visit. Perhaps in the new year?
Again at Christmas did we weave the holly round the Christmas hearth. The silent snow possessed the earth, and calmly fell our Christmas Eve. The Yule log sparkled keen with frost, no wing of wind the region swept, but over all things brooding slept the quiet sense of something lost. As in the winters left behind, again our ancient games had place, the mimic pictures breathing grace, and dance and song and hoodman blind. Who showed a token of distress? No single tear, no mark of pain. O sorrow, then can sorrow wane? O grief, can grief be changed to less? O last regret, regret can die. No, mixed with all this mystic frame, her deep relations are the same, but with long use her tears are dry.
I wage not any feud with death, for changes wrought on form and face. No lower life that earth's embrace may breed with him can fright my faith. Eternal process moving on, from state to state the spirit walks, and these are but the shattered stalks or ruined chrysalis of one. Nor blame I death because he bare the use of virtue out of earth. I know transplanted human worth will bloom to profit otherwhere. For this alone on death I wreak the wrath that garners in my heart. He put our lives so far apart. We cannot hear each other speak.
Have you had enough, Alfred?
I couldn't eat another crumb. You are a generous host, sir.
I'm afraid I eat poorly here. It's too easy to get lost in work.
You look very well on it, dear Daddy. Hallam used to call you the immortal, do you know that? Because you haven't aged a day since we left university.
Flattery will not distract me from asking the question again. When will I hear some new poetry?
I have a new section. I'm not sure if it's too pastoral, too touched by Milton, too rooted in its...
I want to hear the poem, not your doubts about it.
Dip down upon the northern shore, O sweet new year, delaying long. Thou dost expectant nature wrong, delaying long, delay no more. What stays thee from the clouded noons, thy sweetness from its proper place? Can trouble live with April days, or sadness in the summer moons? Bring Orchis, bring the foxglove spire, the little speedwell's darling blue, deep tulips dashed with fiery dew, laburnums, dropping wells of fire. O thou, new year, delaying long, delayest the sorrow in my blood, that longs to burst a frozen bud and flood a fresher throat with song.
I think it's beautiful.
I'm not sure.
You're never sure. I'd be worried if you were sure. Here, have another glass.
It's good to see you again, dear Daddy. And very strange to be back in Cambridge again. It's a haunted place. I passed beside the reverend walls in which of old I wore the gown. I roved at random through the town and saw the tumult of the halls and heard once more in college fanes the storm their high-built organs make and thunder music rolling shake the prophets blazoned on the panes and caught once more the distant shout, the measured pulse of racing oars among the willows paced the shores and many a bridge and all about the same grey flats again and felt the same but not the same and last up that long walk of limes I passed to see the rooms in which he dwelt another name was on the door I lingered all within was noise of songs and clapping hands and boys that crashed the glass and beat the floor.
Oh, it's freezing, Alfred. I know you are a hardy northerner, but we really should go in. We'll catch our death out here.
I need to walk off that feast of a dinner you gave me. Do you remember those apostles' meetings?
Shh, keep your voice down. A secret society is still secret, even if you graduated years ago.
After those meetings on summer nights, Hallam and I would come here and lie out on the lawns looking up at the heavens.
There was a lot to discuss from those meetings. Science, music, literature.
We didn't discuss the meetings. We didn't talk at all.
Alfred, it's snowing again. For pity's sake, let's go in.
I'll be a few minutes. I'll follow you.
Don't be long.
I shall not see thee, dare I say. No spirit ever break the band that stays him from the native land where first he walked when clasped in clay. No visual shade of someone lost, but he, the spirit himself, may come where all the nerve of sense is numb. Spirit to spirit, ghost to ghost. O therefore, from thy sightless range, with gods in unconjectured bliss, O from the distance of the abyss of tenfold complicated change, descend and touch
and enter, hear the wish too strong for words to name, that in this blindness of the frame my ghost may feel that thine is near. By night we lingered on the lawn, for underfoot the herb was dry, and genial warmth, and o'er the sky the silvery haze of summer drawn, and calm that let the tapers burn, unwavering, not a cricket chirred, the brook alone far off was heard, and on the board the fluttering urn, and bats went round in fragrant skies, and wheeled or lit the filmy shapes that haunt the dusk with ermine capes and woolly breasts and beaded eyes, while now we sang old songs that pealed from knoll to knoll where, couched at ease, the white kine glimmered and the trees laid their dark arms about the field. But when those others, one by one, withdrew themselves from me and night, and in the house light after light went out and I was all alone, a hunger seized my heart. I read of that glad year which once had been, and those fallen leaves which kept their green, the noble letters of the dead.
Good morning. I hope you slept well.
I didn't sleep.
Oh no, the guest bed is not...
It wasn't the bed. Nor the cold. I saw him. Last night.
Saw who?
You remember when I went into the woods at Somersby that night, when you were there? And I set out looking for Arthur's ghost where Emily had seen it?
Yes. I didn't feel I could ask you about it the next day.
Nothing. He wasn't there. More absent than ever. But last night... he was here.
The time draws near the birth of Christ. The moon is hid, the night is still. A single church below the hill is pealing, folded in the mist. A single peal of bells below that wakens at this hour of rest. A single murmur in the breast, that these are not the bells I know. Like strangers' voices here they sound, in lands where not a memory strays, nor landmark breathes of other days, but all is new on hollowed ground.
Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky. The flying cloud, the frosty light, the year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring, happy bells, across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor, ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right, ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old. Ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free. The larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be.
Is it, really?
You mean you don't keep count?
Yes, you're right. 3 Christmases.
3 years since Arthur died.
I don't find it helpful to count.
I count everything. Every measure of that loss. I count them in my sleep.
Doors where my heart was used to beat so quickly, not as one that weeps. I come once more. The city sleeps. I smell the meadow in the street. I hear a chirp of birds. I see, betwixt the black fronts long withdrawn, a light blue lane of early dawn, and think of early days and thee. And bless thee, for thy lips are bland, and bright the friendship of thine eye. And in my thoughts, with scarce a sigh, I take the pressure of thine hand.
Are you still writing elegies for him? You haven't read me any poems for a long time.
When I can. They are hard to write.
You must have notebooks full of them.
And drawings of you, yes.
Stop drawing me, Alfred.
I haven't finished that one.
It doesn't look anything like me. It looks like a gargoyle. Is this the latest verse?
There rolls the deep. Yes.
Can I?
Go on.
There rolls the deep where grew the tree. O earth, what changes thou hast seen. There where the long street roars hath been, the stillness of the central sea. The hills are shadows, and they flow from form to form, and nothing stands. They melt like mist the solid lands. Like clouds they shape themselves and go. But in my spirit will I dwell, and dream my dream, and hold it true. For though my lips may breathe adieu, I cannot think the thing farewell.
That which we dare invoke to bless, our dearest faith, our ghastliest doubt, he, they, one, all, within, without. The power in darkness whom we guess. I found him not in world or sun, or eagle's wing or insect's eye, nor through the questions men may try the petty cobwebs we have spun. If e'er, when faith had fallen asleep, I heard a voice, believe no more, and heard an ever-breaking shore that tumbled in the godless deep, a warmth within the breast would melt the freezing reasons cold apart, and like a man in wrath the heart stood up and answered, I have felt. No, like a child in doubt and fear. But that blind clamour made me wise. Then was I as a child that cries, but crying knows his father near. And what I am beheld again, what is and no man understands, and out of darkness came the hands that reach through nature, moulding men.
What do you mean?
I just think it's too decisive. It's too clear-cut at the end. It gives the game away.
What game?
That Lycidas is masterly but cold. True grief does not resolve itself like that.
Maybe for Milton it did.
It's a glorious ending. I'll give you that.
At last he rose and twitched his mantle blue. Tomorrow to fresh woods and pastures new.
Dear friend, far off my lost desire, so far, so near in woe and weal, O loved the most, when most I feel, there is a lower and a higher. Known and unknown. Human, divine. Sweet human hand and lips and eye. Dear heavenly friend that canst not die. Mine, mine, forever, ever mine. Strange friend, past, present, and to be. Loved deeplier, darklier understood. Behold, I dream a dream of good, and mingle all the world with thee.
Alfred Lord Tennyson was played by James Cooney. Emily by Holiday Granger, and Diodati by Ashley Margolis. Elegies by Michael Simmons Roberts was a BBC Audio North production, directed by Susan Roberts.